I've often wondered why it is so hard to talk about money. I mean, most of us, including me, would rather talk about politics or religion than talk about money, especially our own personal finances. It's just not comfortable. I think about my growing up, and I couldn't begin to tell you how my parents did it. They had 8 kids in our household. My dad was a civil servant. He was an airplane mechanic. He worked for the Air Force base in town. When my parents adopted 4 kids, my 4 cousins, my mother went to work as a dental assistant. I look back now on the situation, and I know it had to have been hard just feeding us, much less the activities that we were all involved in. I still don't know how they did it. Yet never once in our family did I feel like we were struggling or hurting. Sure, there were times when my mother would say, "No, you can't have that new dress." She sewed most of our clothing. I so wanted to be able to go to the store and have a store-bought dress. So I knew there were things like that. But I never sensed that we weren't secure, that there was ever any fear in my parents. I guess that's the ticket right there. Money is what makes us feel secure, isn't it? And whether we want to admit it or not, it's a central reality in all of our relationships. Our relationships with people, with institutions, with causes, with our careers. Money is a part. And yet we don't want to talk about it, ever. We hear all about it on the radio. I've been listening to my favorite radio station this week, and they've been trying to raise money all week for their upcoming year. It pulls at your heartstrings because you want to help. I want to call every time and make a donation. You want to help here, and you want to help here, and you want to help here, and you can't do it all, and you can't decide. I could name a dozen things in a minute that I would love to be able to give to you. And each and every one of them do great things for people. From schools to shelters to pantries to clinics. We have people who walk in our doors almost every day in need. It goes on and on. It's difficult when we read these scriptures. Don't store up your treasures on earth. Place your treasures in more important things. But if I give to everyone that needs help, how do I take care of basic needs? And how do I save for my retirement? And how do I take care of my family? And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Money, in addition to being a necessity to live, it also affects our self-esteem. It's hard to say, even to your closest friends, "I can't go do that. I just can't afford it." Part of the problem in our society right now is that so many people have gotten themselves into real trouble overextending themselves. Banks and society have told us we can afford things that we can't. We just buy it on credit. And then the bank has to come back and take homes away from families and make even a bigger hardship. Our community has gotten into real trouble with these payday lending because people get in a trap and they can't get out. And so it's hard, and it makes it even harder when the church begins to say, "It's stewardship time, and it's time for you to help us out." And we just blend into all the other people in need. Even when you have the necessary 6-month salary and savings, your retirement is secure, your kids' college funds are taken care of and paid up, even when you have it all in place, it's hard because money has something to do with this place in our heart where security comes from. We don't want to reveal our need, and we don't want to let someone know our security because someone might betray us. I'm afraid if I had you raise your hands, how many of you had gone through having your identity stolen in the last few years? We would probably have a whole lot of hands up. Security and money has become very important lately. That's what's at the base of it all. I dare say none of us really have a problem with sharing part of what we have. We do that the first Sunday of every month. People bring their food and they place it on the table. We share our table. We come and we give to each other and we give to people in need. It's not about not wanting to share. But bottom line, we have a hard time knowing if what we give to a person, if they're going to use it wisely. And it's hard to let go of something when you don't know how it's going to be used. We watch commercial after commercial telling us to give here and believe here and support here. How do we know that when we give our money, it's going to be used for what they say they're going to use it for? How can we be sure? We can't. It's that easy. I wish I could say that every penny of every money that comes through this door went for just exactly what you wanted it to go for, but I can't. We all want different things. If I asked you today to sit down and make a list of the 5 most important things that you want us to do here in this church, I would dare say I would have as many different lists as I have people in this room. And I'm guessing none of you would have taking care of 33 toilets on the top of your list. Although, again, like Logan said, I'm sure you want those toilets to be running. During our Sunday school hour this morning, we talked about vision and what we wanted 50 years from now for this church. When we're probably gone, what do we want for this church? And there were a lot of different ideas. We're all cut from a different cloth. We all want different things. And it's important to remember that we're all in this together. So every year we work on a budget and we try to stick as closely as we can and we do the best that we can do. It takes trust. It takes trust, not in me, not in Kevin, not in our finance chair, not in our council chair. I wish I could say not even in our faith community as a whole. I'm sorry to break that to you. But it's faith that you're following what God wants you to do that is most important. The faith that we have in our community must come from our individual faith that this is where we're meant to invest ourselves. Not just our money, not just our time, but our whole self from down deep inside. That's where I have to blame society just a bit. We've developed such a consumer society. that we want to get something for what we give. We want to give to a candidate that's going to make things the way that we want them. And when they don't, we move on to a different candidate. We want to give to a group that's going to do the things we want them to get done. And when they don't, we pick up and go to a different group. Most of you know that I am on the board of a nonprofit and have been for several years. It's a nonprofit that's made up of 11 churches, of which Highland Park is one. For 2 years, I was president of that board, and therefore I had to oversee the fundraising, and I got all the calls from people who had problems or concerns. And I was amazed at how many people would call and complain about some of the silliest things. And my favorite was a call that complained about the low percentage of money going to our overhead. We were one of the nonprofits found to have the lowest overhead, percentage of overhead, in the Austin area. And we have pretty good reserves set up. And this person thought that we needed to hire an employee and we needed to take some of that reserve money and do more good with that reserve money. And I said, I understand what you're saying, but we're following, you know, the rules of nonprofits, and we want to have a reserve fund for when times are bad. And this person just could not understand and just really read me the riot act. And it was not long after that when the economy crashed. And we no longer had access to food from the food banks. And we had to go to the grocery stores and buy food for the food pantry. The bottom had fallen out, and our numbers were soaring. But we stayed open. And we had food for every person that needed food. I share that story not to tell you how wonderful this program is, but to tell you that we had people leave our program because they didn't agree with how we were handling things. I'm sure that several people stopped giving. But the people who worked at that pantry day after day, the people who gave food and gave money, gave because they believed that that was work of God. Sure, we want to have the latest technology. The moment it's available, we want to camp out and get it because we want it the day it comes out, the first phone or the first computer or the first gaming console. We live in a time where we want control, we want more bang for our buck, we want things how we want them, and we want them now. But we all need to be living in a place where we look towards our Creator and ask, what would you have me to do? Hopefully you'll hear down deep that God wants you to give your whole self right where you've been planted. I can get on my soapbox just a little and say that when you invest yourself in a place because of a person, be it a pastor or be it a director, or be it a president, that person is probably going to let you down sometime. Because we're all human. You have to invest where God calls you to be. Because God will not let you down. I've said this before, and believe me, you're going to hear it again, the most important thing about the stewardship process is your prayer time. one of the things the books on stewardship tell you is to don't give out this commitment card until the day you want it filled out. The books tell you to let the people come and let the excitement and the emotions of the day inspire them to fill out their cards. But I'm asking you to take these cards home today, because I'm asking you to spend some time this week in prayer over this card. I'm asking you to be in prayerful consideration about what God asks you to do. Maybe it's just to start giving. Maybe for the first time, it's for you to just trust. Trust that God has led you here and that God wants you to give of yourself here. Maybe it's that you stick to what you've been doing for the last year. Or maybe it's that you step and up just a little bit and stretch just a little bit. The important thing is that you take a step of faith and you ask God. And man, that sometimes is a hard thing to do, because you might just get an answer. And it might not be the answer you want. Last Sunday, someone was talking to me about the Sunday before that it rained so hard. And she said, you know, I stayed home. And she said, I guess it's bad that we prayed so hard for rain, and when we got it, we used it as an excuse to stay home from church. Sometimes prayer's hard, isn't it? Henry Nouwen says that prayer is the spiritual discipline through which our mind and our heart are converted from hostility and fear to gratitude, which is a sign that this conversion is spreading into every aspect of our lives. He says prayer is the radical starting point, because in prayer we slowly experience a reorientation of all of our thoughts and our feelings about ourselves and about others. I ask you to take this card home this week. Talk to your family. Talk to your spouse, your children. It's important that we teach our young people how to not fear money and to not allow money to be our security, but to rely on God as our strength, our shelter, our faith. Think about this. Pray about it. And next week, I invite you to come as we celebrate all the ways that this church comes together as community and as faith. And as we celebrate the faith that we place in the God who supplies all of our needs. Amen and amen.